about the three primary wounds of humanity. And it's so beautiful how they're actually one and of the same.
Welcome to the Ecstatic Woman Podcast. Together, along with some amazing guests, we'll explore and tap into our inner wisdom and have meaningful conversations about developing our ability to self-discover, create, and be present in the world, while also uncovering new ways to think, feel, and cultivate our sense of empowerment so we can live our lives ecstatically. Now let's welcome our host, Alara Sage.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Ecstatic Woman Podcast. I'm your host, Alara Sage. I am a womb shaman. I am an activator facilitator of Kundalini Shakti, and I'm an ecstatic life mentor because honestly, I feel that we are here to live ecstatically. And to live ecstatically is about embodying our Shakti. And what happens when we don't embody our Shakti? What happens when we don't live ecstatically? Today, we're going to be talking about the three primary wounds of humanity. And it's so beautiful how they're actually one and of the same. This teaching goes very much parallel to the teaching that I teach of creator consciousness, of the divine trinity, which are both threes. They are the three primary distortions of the law of one. The law of one stating that we are all one. We are all creation. And this parallels what I'm talking here today because I believe that the primary wound of humanity is the belief that we are separate. That we are separate from each other. We are separate from our great mother, Gaia, the great mother, from our father, from creation itself, from God. That belief is very, very painful. And I have done an entire solo episode just on that belief. And that belief separates itself through the law of three into the three primary wounds, which are money, power, and sex. Now, interestingly enough, these aren't really separate. And this is what I love about this teaching so very much. My higher self started taking me down the journey of this teaching. And I'm feeling into which one was I taken down first? And the truth is that I didn't go down one separate of the other two because they're not truly separate. However, there was a time where my higher self was really teaching me the wound of power. And then there was a time where my higher self was teaching me the wound of money. And then there was a time where my higher self was teaching me the wound of sex. One of the most important things to understand about these three wounds is they are rooted in our sacral chakra. They are rooted in our Shakti energy. They are rooted in our creative life force energy. So remember, Kundalini is Shakti before it has been awakened, activated. Kundalini is aka the coiled serpent. After she has been activated in you, she becomes Shakti, which is a goddess representing the primordial femme that exists within all of us. And I sometimes feel like I want to just scream this at the top of the mountains to everybody, maybe with a little bit more emphasis on the men, just because I feel like naturally when I speak about primordial femme, when I speak about the womb, men don't think I'm speaking to them. But all of this is very much all sexual identities, to all beings with all sexual organs. And our creative life force energy, Shakti, it's important to understand that, from my perspective, all of your sexual energy is creative life force energy, but not all creative life force energy is sexual. Now, the reason that these wounds are all interwoven is because they're all because of the connection to one's Shakti, one's creative life force energy. They're all connected to the wound of the feminine. And I like to take it even a step further and say the wound of the ma, or the wound of the mother. I have said on this podcast before, and I will say it again, we haven't had the true femme power on this planet for over 5,000 years. We've had a very long time where the divine feminine has not been embodied, established, articulated, expressed on this planet. Why and all of that I've spoken about before. And it's not even that important, even though the truth is it has served all of us. Anytime the pendulum swings, whatever that swing is into, grants you a very clear perspective of that. So, meaning when the pendulum swung into masculine, patriarchy, logic, structure, intellect, we have been able to really understand that way of being, which is a beautiful gift. And now, as the femme, the ma returns, you know, we're probably going to swing a little bit into her before we find that balance point. So, power, money, and sex. Something that I have disagreed with others, and so you can take this or leave it, depending on what resonates with you, is I believe power comes from the feminine, not the masculine. And not that men aren't powerful, right? Because men have feminine energy as well. Power comes from our Shakti. The feminine is the inexhaustible well of resource of creative life force energy. Inexhaustible. That's who she is. To me, the masculine creates the framework to allow that power to have structure. And I definitely see the masculine in all of us as the one who holds the strength. And strength is, again, the way to bring that power through the body, right? We have not been connected to the feminine within us. We've not been connected to the Ma, to Mother Gaia, to the cosmic mother. We've been in the masculine, we've been in the patriarchy, and we've been out of sync, out of rhythm. It's rather naive, you know, because humans are a portion of creation. And when we believe that we are the center of it and we hold the power, we're not in that oneness. We're not in that unity consciousness. And thus, we're not actually pulling from that inexhaustible well. What we're doing is we're oftentimes creating the energy of force with a sheep's clothing of power, an illusion of power that's actually in the energy of force. The difference between power and force is fundamentally that power is self-sustaining because it serves the whole, it serves the one. Force is self-serving, and thus it must be continuously maintained in and of itself. It will die out. It will not last. So we haven't even been in an energy of power. Humanity has largely been in force. And because we've been in that force, we've been fighting for power. And the truth is, you don't have to fight for power. Power is something we all have, we all can connect to. And when we serve that connection of the one, then our power actually increases. However, when we sever ourselves through our choices and our perspective from each other, that power decreases, and therefore we have to take on more force. So the wound of power is pretty obviously expressed all over the planet in our multitude of wars and our insistence on claiming ownership of resources, of things. That's all rooted in a belief of lack. And when we believe that we lack, it's scary. There appears to be not inexhaustible resources. There appears to be limitations. And then who gets what there is, right? And it becomes a competition. It becomes a battle. It becomes a war. In the understanding of what I'm speaking to, when we begin to come back into rhythm with our bodies, and we begin to come back into rhythm with Mother Gaia, and back into rhythm with our solar system, and ultimately the universe, what we find is that resource is always available. It's not always the one channel or avenue that we are directing our attention. Sometimes it's showing up in different ways. And it's only through that embodiment, that presence, and that attunement to the natural flow of the mother that we actually connect to where is the inexhaustible resource right now? Where is the abundance right now? How do we utilize what is here instead of insisting that it shows up our way, our channel, that oftentimes is against the rhythm of Mother Gaia? And again, that equates to force. Again, that equates to us having to fight and battle versus move with the flow of the Ma. When we move to money, it's the same conversation because money is a currency and money is a resource. And currency is, again, the flow of energy. And when we are not connected to our bodies and we're not connected to our Mother Gaia, we don't know where those flows are going. We, again, fear that we're in lack. So we hoard, we hide away, we store. And hoarding and storing creates stagnation. And energies, currents, do not like stagnation. If you notice, Mother Gaia has very little stagnation. Sure, she has pools of water here and there that are stagnant, but for the most part, she is ever moving, changing, evolving. There is no real stagnation in her space. Stagnation, like the water, creates illness and disease. It lacks growth. It lacks expansion. And again, just the hoarding, the stagnation of currency goes against the flow of energy, goes against the flow of Mother Gaia, of our solar system. Our solar system, we are always moving. So to try to stop movement, to try to stop expansion, to try to stop growth is, again, against that flow. And once again, takes us out of the energy of abundance, inexhaustible resource, flow, creation, ease, grace, power, and puts us into force, resistance, competition, strain, conflict, struggle. I have done a couple of talks about our financial structures and how these are shifting. And, you know, usually when I get this information, it's usually about 2 years ahead of the game. And so I reckon that in about 2 years, we're going to really see what I'm speaking to here. And that is, we can no longer create money, create wealth, even work with money and have a relationship with money, for one, in the energy of lack, and two, without being connected to our own feminine, without being connected to our own Shakti, without being connected to our own power, because it is in the old paradigm of force and pushing and resisting and going upstream rather than with the flow. So we're going to start to see financial structures just really collapse and shift. And those who are connecting into their bodies, who are connecting into their sexual energy and their Shakti, are going to feel where the flow is, and they're going to align to that. And therefore, they're going to be in flow. They're going to be in resource. They're going to be in abundance. Now, what that looks like, I can't say, right? Because what our definition of abundance might be now might not be what true abundance is when the mother, when creation, when these powers that are so beyond our mind and our ego decide to shift, transform, and alchemize what that will be. But the truth is, you don't have to know. You don't have to know what any of this looks like. You don't have to understand it. Because when we're trying to understand, we're working with our left brain. We're in the masculine. And there is a place for that. We need logic in our life. And when we are understanding expansion and growth, we need the feminine. We need to understand the unknown. We need to feel safe to surrender into ourselves, our power, our creative life force energy, and allow that energy to actualize for us and learn how to stay attuned to that frequency. So again, you can already see how power and money already have similarities. I mean, they're basically the same. And I'm not saying that money is power, but money holds power for sure, right? Power is beyond money. But money is a current of power currently for humanity. Maybe that will change as we speak of this. Who knows? Most likely that would take longer than just the 2 years that I'm speaking to. So I'm not saying in 2 years we won't have money. I'm just saying it's going to change the way that we're playing this game of monopoly with ourselves and with each other. So both of these, power and money, are really best understood when we are in our bodies and aligned to our Shakti. So going back to power for just a moment, my higher self taught me that as we embody more and more of our feminine energy and our feminine power, and we increase our capacity, it is even more important that we not only know what integrity is, which is fundamentally love, not the emotion of love, but the universal truth of love, love of self and love of all, acceptance of self and acceptance of all. We have to understand that, not just mentally, conceptually, but we have to experientially understand what it means to live in integrity. Because power is no joke. Power is not force. And the more power you come into capacity with, the more you have to be directly aligned to integrity. You must be of service to love. My higher self has given me the image of a spinning top. And when we take on more capacity of power, if we just ever so slightly step out of integrity, take an action that is not of love, the spinning top loses its balance and goes off its axis. It goes off its axis. So as you gain more power, staying attuned to what is truly of service from a place of love is imperative to stay on your axis, aka stay aligned. And when we take action outside of that integrity, not only do we get thrown off our axis, do we feel unaligned, but the what I like to call the slaps become harder. And what I mean by slaps is the higher self or the universe giving you something in life to knock you back into place. That slap can oftentimes be uncomfortable. That's the whole point, is that it's uncomfortable to so that you notice that your top has literally dropped off its axis. You're no longer that beautiful spinning top that you were. So not only does the margin of quote-unquote error, though it's not truly error, but the margin of attunement become more precise, meaning that you all of your actions must be deeply aligned to love. And that becomes very precise in resonance. But also, if you take an action that is even subtly not attuned to that, the repercussion that's there meant to realign you becomes more intense and very quick. So one of my favorite things to say is a quote by Spider-Man. And Spider-Man says, "With great power comes great responsibility." And that's no joke. Now, force isn't the same. Force, you can be out of love all entirely, because it's not about love. Force isn't rooted in love. Force is rooted in lack and the belief of separation. So humanity has to shift from force into power, which means we have to align ourselves to love. We have to align our own embodiment of our Shakti, our own embodiment of our primordial femme power with universal love. That's just so beautiful. Why don't we just pause here, and I just invite you to take some breaths into your body. This is a potentially triggering conversation. No right or wrong there. So just breathe all the way down into your pelvis. Take your awareness to your sacral. And as you hold your awareness there, take a nice deep breath in as if you're breathing all the way to your sacral chakra. And exhale. And just take two more breaths like that. And notice any belief structures, any triggers, anything that you're feeling in your body. And the third wound is sexual energy. I would almost dare to say that this is the wound that the other two spin around. This is the deep-seated wound because we have been so scared of our sexual energy. And particularly, we have been deeply scared of women in their sexual power. Because again, let's make no joke here. A woman who is alive in her erotic ecstasy is pure power. Pure, delicious, vibrant power. And this is not to say that she's better than a man who's awakened in his erotic ecstasy, because she's not. However, there is something that the womb carries, the portal to the cosmic womb, the creation point that a woman has a connection to, that is incredible. And, you know, this is goes back to Mary Magdalene and sexual magic. And when a woman knows sexual magic, she can draw from that inexhaustible well of the feminine. And the man gets just entirely soaked and drenched and marinated in her waters. And a man who understands this will create this space for the woman to enter those energies, to bring that forth so that he can receive that into his body. But what has our society's perspective been on sex, let alone on women being highly sexual? And the interesting thing here is that having high sexual energy, being turned on sexually, even being erotically turned on, interestingly enough, doesn't actually have anything to do with the act of sex. Of course, it can, but you can be turned on rather erotically just by your experience. And this is a whole nother conversation that I'm going to have to go into and tell you guys some stories, but that'll be maybe for the next solo episode. We'll dive into this a little bit deeper. Because it's such not only a delicious conversation, but it is deeply liberating. It is deeply liberating. So our society has been suppressing sex because sex is creative life force energy. Sex is Shakti. And sex opens the floodgates, right? Sexual energy opens the floodgates of pleasure. And pleasure is this new portal to prosperity. This is what the new paradigm is really speaking to us of: how much pleasure can we actually be in life? How much fun, how much joy, how much playfulness, how much aliveness can we have in life that will then equate to natural forms of prosperity? Because we can't really be in those energies without being embodied, without having a very healed sacral chakra, without being very deeply connected and alive in our sexual energy, deeply connected and alive in our Shakti. Those are the energies that, when we release the shame that we've been holding, that's when we come back to the natural pleasure of our being, the natural playfulness of our being, the part of ourselves that just gets simply turned on with the sensations that exist all around us in every moment. But we don't even go there, right? Like, even conversations of sex are still really taboo. And it honestly kind of surprises me, I guess, is how often people are like, whoa, I don't really talk about that. Or, whoa, that's okay. Let's unpack that. There's so much to unpack there, right? When I have these conversations on other people's podcasts or whatever it is. And, you know, our society has long time suppressed it because it is so powerful. That's why we've suppressed it. And ultimately, the beautiful thing about the act of sex in healed sexual energy is that it brings us to divine union. It is this beautiful union, not just with ourselves, but with an other. And there's so much just amazing transformation that happens through our relationship with another human, another being. And again, that's a whole nother conversation. But where we take healed sexual energy and we apply it to the act of sex in a space that is revered, that is honored, that is safe, where there's communication and space and time for both beings, then that is where we really meet ourselves as God through an other. Is where we really meet ourselves as God through an other. It is divine union. So, of course, the powers to be, which are truly not powerful, and, you know, the different systems and structures that have been working against humans for, honestly, the better of the good of all. It always is the good of all, to be honest. Anyways, you know, all of these forces have been purposefully suppressing sex and sexual energy and sexual power because it is so powerful. And, you know, there are certain beings in the ancient Egyptian times who used this energy to reach immortality. Like, that's how powerful it truly is. So we've been radically suppressed to the point that we can't even talk about it really very easily and fluidly amongst ourselves, let alone like societally, right? If that's even a word, socially, societally, out in the open, right? In public, like, we're so ashamed. There is so much deeply rooted shame. And so that shame around our sexual power, around our sexual desires, around our sexual exploration, around our eroticism, is the same shame that is held about money, is the same shame that is held about our power. So maybe you're connecting the dots to what I'm saying here. And the unworthiness that we hold in our bodies and in our sexual expression is the same unworthiness that we hold around money and is the same unworthiness that we hold around power. And again, all of this has to do with our sexual energy and our Shakti. And so understanding the potency of this and beginning to really work with your sacral chakra and your sexual organs and your sexual energy. And if you're a woman, your womb, and if you're a man, the womb, you change your life. You know, I honestly just had no idea how transformative this energy really was until I was taught it. And, you know, my teachings around money were largely around how one-sided I was with money. Like it was, I wanted it to serve me, and I didn't always honor it or rever it or even really have a relationship with money. It was one-sided. And everything in life is relationship. And particularly when we're coming into the conversation of power. So when my higher self was teaching me about my trauma with money, it was really about that relationship. And I just wanted to show up. I wanted it to serve me. I wanted it to do what I wanted it to do. And I didn't really care to listen to money, right? I didn't really care what money was trying to tell me or teach me. And so it wasn't until I started to sink into that relationship with money and be willing to hear it that it transformed for me. And that's the same as with my womb. And the same as with my sexual energy. And of course, the power and all of it. And fundamentally, how all of these energies, which are the same energy, wants to serve your heart's desires, wants to serve your genius, because your heart's desires, your genius, serves the higher good of all naturally. But most people don't even know what their heart's desires are. They're not connected to their genius. And a lot of that is having to do with this shame, this unworthiness that we carry. And as I've spoken to often, another way of seeing it is inadequacy, because that's the exact vibration that I hold in my womb and have been working through. So with sexual energy, my higher self really showed me just how resistant I was to it, how deeply shameful I was. And that shame went all the way back to when I was a little girl and I was very sexually activated at a very young age, not like wanting to have sex, because I didn't even know what that was, but just aroused by nature, aroused, turned on at a very young age. And of course, you know, that's not like accepted or understood in our society. So I was very quickly shamed for that. And this is something that the majority of my clients have some level of this. Most of the clients that are attracted to me, even if they don't know it, they were actually highly sexual as a child. Let me rephrase that. They had high sexual energy. They weren't sexual. So again, there's these fine definitions to try to articulate this information that is really beyond, you know, just simply the word sex. It's very much about innocence and the understanding that when we're young like that, we're just innocent. And we don't know anything, you know, other than like what we're feeling and what we're experiencing. And we take on, you know, what the people around us think about that and what they've been taught. And very quickly, shame comes into our bodies, very, very quickly. And we start to squeeze off that power. And, you know, sometimes people will say to me, oh, but I'm highly creative. Or they'll say, oh, but I'm highly sexual. Like I love sex. And so if you're a person that's highly creative, or you're a person who really loves sex, I invite you to ask yourself where you have closed it off, in what way, and where do you still hold that shame? Because you can be highly creative and not actually be connected to your sexual energy and not even your Shakti. And I always say to people like that, like, wow, imagine how creative you would be if you were healed in these energies, right? Or you can be highly sexual and still be utilizing it through the perspective and the lens of shame, because even the act of sex radically changes your relationship to your body, radically changes as you reclaim the innocence of this within yourself. So it's really about sacral chakra, and it's really about sexual energy, and it's really about Shakti and understanding where you don't feel safe in your body, where you don't feel safe in your life. It's understanding where you hold shame about yourself, about your body, about humanity, about sexuality, about money, about power, which those are often also very heavily found in parallel realities and quantum entanglement, particularly right now as all this is coming up for everybody. There's a lot of entanglement within ways in which in other lives we have abused our power. We've done it all. We've all done everything. Or you've been abused from, you know, not true power again, but a sense of power. You've been disempowered. And really learning how to reconnect to your body, how to be really present in your body, to feel all of your emotions, to feel all of the feelings and sensations, and to be fully present with them. Because you can't open up your ecstatic self, you can't open up your aliveness if you're not willing to feel. And we have a lot of judgment around those feelings because we don't understand them and we're scared of them. And fundamentally, it is that shame. So we've really locked ourselves away with chastity belts and locked ourselves away and said, I don't want to experience that part of myself because it's so shameful. I wasn't even aware of the shame that I carried around until I started opening it up. So I always recommend that you are curious about these conversations, curious about where you hold shame. Come at it open-minded and curious so that you can actually begin to see it rather than from a place of denial and resistance where you'll just continue to choose not to see it, not to heal it, and therefore not to open yourself up to your power and really heal these three primary wounds. Because what happens when humanity heals these wounds and we're not fighting and combating and conflicting and struggling anymore, and we're beginning to all have a sense of power in self, we're all empowered. And through that power, we serve each other as a community and as a whole. And, you know, there is a flow to money, to finances. There isn't stagnation and hoarding. And we are sexually alive again and turned on by life and connected through that act with each other. It's an incredible change and shift for humanity that is here now for us in these new paradigms. So I invite you to explore yourself with these three primary wounds. I guarantee that they exist in your pelvis. And as always, I can help you with that. This is what I do. So if this is something that's really resonating with you, absolutely reach out, because I have several different ways that you can work with me that are affordable. So I look forward to hearing from you, because this is imperative, my love. This is imperative. As humans, we're here to reclaim this power for ourselves as humans, not outside of our human expression, but as divinity in human form. And I'm excited to be on this journey with you. As always, I'm so grateful for you. So grateful for you as a listener. I'm so grateful that you're listening to me and probably to others, and you're bringing in this information and you're inviting yourself to expand and to grow and to reclaim your power, to reclaim your feminine, reconnect to the ma. I love you all so very much. Until next time.
Thank you for being a part of the Ecstatic Woman podcast. As you experience each new day, we want you to feel that you are capable of tapping into your inner wisdom and living your life ecstatically. If you want to be invited back to the next episode, just subscribe to our podcast. And if you need more information in the meantime, go to alarasage.com.